Okay, so last time we discussed the Din of Sakana and the Mordechai that the Rama quotes in Sivav, and we noted that the Mordechai has four reasons, but we focused primarily on the last two reasons as to why the case of the braids that the woman had in her hair that created a Sakana situation because removing them would have made her susceptible to demonic attack. So the Mordechai there had, number one, the reason of Sakana, and number two, the factor of Hainu Ravise, that these braids are considered part of the woman's body, and therefore not Chatzitza, just like the Gemara describes in Yevamos Ayin Ches, in the context of a Muberes in a Skyra. And we also noted the comment of the Panim Meiros at the Pesukei Teshuva quotes, that the reason of Mordechai needs both of those explanations, and you can't rely on the Sakana consideration alone, in saying that Sakana makes it Eino Makbid, is because we're talking about a potential chatzitza in the hair, and these braids would constitute Rov Seyar. So in the context of the Shitas HaGaonim, that we look at Seyar as an independent entity for purposes of calculating Rov, then you would end up with a chatzitza of Rov Seyar, and Eino Makbid wouldn't help you, because even if it's Rubov Eino Makbid, that still is a chatzitza midrabbanan. So that's why I have to come on to the additional consideration of Haina Revise to say that it's not considered a chatzitza at all, not just that it's a chatzitza on Rubo Ve'ena Makbid, it's not a chatzitza at all because of Haina Revise. Rabbi Wolhender in his Gufei Halachos, he has a lengthy hakdama to Siman Kutzariches, so in his hakdama in Anaf Yud Beis, which is less than halfway through the Hakdama. So he quotes a Chuv the Ksav Sofer that makes the following observation, then the following has the following analysis. If you look, this is a slight embellishment the way he says it, but then we'll tell you exactly what the Ksav Sofer says. If you look in the Rama in Sifav, when he quotes this din, doesn't make any mention of Haina Ravise. Osan Shiesh Lehem Kamin Klios Saaros Divuko Subazu Vinasis Balaila Ayudeshe Visakana Siram Lo Chaiti. So he says Sakana, he doesn't mention Haina Ravise. And what the Ksav Sofer points out is that the Lavush in his presentation here as well makes no mention of Haina Ravise. So how is that sustainable if we're talking about a chatzitza on what would be Rov Seyar? Then how does Sakana alone get you out of the problem without saying Haina Ravise? So the Ksav Sofer, Tshuva Yerideya Simen Sadi Aleph, Yerideya Simen Sadi Aleph. So first he observes that the reason you would be reluctant to invoke Haina Ravise broadly is because Haina Ravise only makes sense if it's something that is part of the woman's body. So the case of Uberesh in the sky or the Uber, that's the extreme case where you'd invoke Haina Ravise. But to say Haina Ravise for anything else, so Mela, maybe the braids, you could call Haina Ravise because that's part of her hair. But to the extent that Sakana would be relevant in any other context, it would be hard to consider that Haina Ravise, even if there are considerations as to why it's not being removed. And even the braids themselves, he says, Muberish in the sky where the Uber is Haina Ravise. But when it comes to braids, those are things that are, he writes, the mikra, that you could braid your hair this way, you cannot braid your hair that way. But that's not necessarily Haina Ravise. Haina Ravise is that which al karchach is part of your body, not where there's some discretion as to how to arrange it. So braids are more discretionary, even if it's part of your hair, and then it's harder to argue that that's considered to be Haina Ravise. So if that's the case, and he says, if that's the reason that the Lavush, and maybe, he talks about the Lavush, he doesn't talk about the Ramah, but seemingly the Rama also. That's the reason that you would de-emphasize Hanu Ravisa in this context. Then you're back to the question raised by the Panim Eros. How can you justify the Makel simply on the basis of Sakana if you're talking about Rove Seyar, where you'd have a Chatzitza Midi Rabbanan, even if it's Eino Makbid? So if you're not going to work with Hanu Ravisa, then how does Sakana alone solve the problem? So to that, the Ksav Sofer makes the following suggestion. He says that the reason for the Gzer D'Rabbanim B'chlal of Ruvo She'eno Makbid is itself a Gzer Rechoka. He says to be Choshesh for a Rov She'eno Makbid Atu Makbid is a Gzer Rechoka. He says to be choshish for mir ha-makbid or to rov ha-makbid. That makes more sense because it's a fine line between a mir and a rov. So it makes sense to be gozer on a mir ha-makbid or to a rov ha-makbid because that's just a matter of where do you draw the line. But to be gozer on rov she'eno makbid or to rov ha-makbid, where the point of blurring or potential blurring is between makbid and eno makbid, that makes less sense. You can blur the line easily between Rov and Miut because there's some point at which something is no longer a Miut and becomes a Rov, but that's not the same blurring line as between Eino Makbid and Makbid. So he says that being Choshesh or being the Gzeir Midi Rabbanan of Eino Makbid up to Makbid, that's what he calls a Gzeira Rechoka. So he says, that Zerachoka of Eino Makbid Atu Makbid, that was only said in situations where there could be some relative calculation as to whether a given circumstance is Makbid or Eino Makbid. And maybe some people will be Makbid, in some situations would be Makbid, some situations wouldn't be Makbid, irrespective of whether fundamentally we follow, we say Baladaita or not. But when it comes to a matter of Sakana, so then, no one in the world would be makbid and that which is their mishum sakana. So he suggests that when it comes to the situation of sakana, that zera d'rabbanan of eino makbid atu makbid was never promulgated. The zera d'rabbanan of a rov she'eino makbid atu rov makbid is only under normal circumstances. But Malkum Sakana, there's never such a Gzeira Durabana. So that's how Ksav Sofer suggests the explanation of Sakana could potentially stand on its own, even when it comes to Seyar, where the Chassis is Al Rubo, because in that situation, the Chiyagavna of Sakana, Lo Gazru, on Eino Makbid, Virov, Atu Makbid.
With that analysis, how do you understand the Gemara, which presents that we should go there on Miut She'eino Makbid, Atu Miut HaMakbid? Because he's saying the line between Makbid and Eino Makbid is so large that we never should have made it anyway.
He's saying we shouldn't have, but yet we did because that's what he calls Gzeira Rechoka.
Right, but that's why Rubo She'eino Makbid or Rubo HaMakbid, because the line between Makbid and Eino Makbid is pretty large, but still,
right.
there, we don't make the Makbid Sakana.
Right, so you're saying the Havin of the Gemara that we should have been Gozer or Miyad She'eino Makbid,
right.
We're not, but the Havin that you would have been Gozer or Miyad She'eino Makbid or to,
right.
To Makbid.
And even if you have the two Inami Mishum, Rubo She'eino
right.
Makbid, so our Gemara Nida doesn't have that. Either you have both of them, or you only have the one. That would be problematic according to this analysis.
Okay, I hear. So maybe you'll say that this analysis is only the Maskana. Once the Gemara rejects being goes there, Miut She'eino Makbid to Miut HaMakbid. So that sheds light on the whole.
Oh.
And the whole picture, and we can go back and reevaluate what the concern was, maybe. And he doesn't address that, just off the cuff.
Yeah,
maybe. Said something like that. Okay, that was just one ha'ara on last week's topic. Okay, so if you have a Gemara, take a look at Samach Vav Amud Beis, which we're just seeing briefly on the way to Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. But the Gemara on Samach Vav Amud Beis, we saw some of this previously. The name of Rava, six lines down, La'olam Yilamid Adam Asaf Beis HaShetei Isha Madicha Beis Kamata B'mayim. We discussed that in our opening shiur on Chatzitza, in the context of where does this fit with the various layers of Chatzitza, Halacha Mesha Mesina, Drabanan, etc. Then the verse says, Meisivei, Beis HaKamatim, Beis HaStarim, Einan Tzrichin, Levias Mayim. So why did Rava say that you should rinse out the area of Beis Kamateha? What are we concerned about? Anyway, Beis HaKamatim, Beis HaStarim, Einan Tzrichin, Levias Mayim. There's no requirement of Levias Mayim when meat slash, there's not going to be a problem of chatzitza in an area based on starve, an area that is typically covered in the body, inside the mouth, inside the ear, inside the eyes, in base hastar. So Gemara says, Nihi de bias mayim lo b'inan, makam arai lo bias mayim b'inan. So it's true that you don't need bias mayim, but it has to be roi lo bias mayim, base nerb zeir, kala roi lo bila, ain't bila makavispo, she'ain roi lo bila, bila is Ma'kevesbo. And then the Gemara quotes the Maisa of Shechasa Shalrebi, who had a bone bein shineha, and Rebbe required her to go to the mikvah a second time. So the base din that the base din that the Gemara is working off over here, that there's no requirement of bias mayim for beis hasarim, is that Rashi already quotes from the Sifra ala Torah. Parshas Mitzorah, Peretes Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's in the Parsha of Zav, V'yadav lo shitaf b'mayim. So there Rashi quotes, V'zeh shehotzi akasta tvilas gufo shel Zav, b'loshin shtifas yadayim, v'lamedcha she'ein beis hastarim ton v'yas mayim, ela ever ha'goloi k'mo ha'yadayim. So that's the Medr Shalacha, the Sifra, other Midrashim, that the fact that the Torah singles out v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim is telling you dafka, that which is begoli requires bias mayim, but beis hastarim does not require bias mayim. So that's what the Gemara is working off over here, that there's no requirement of bias mayim when it comes to beis hastarim. However, there is a din of kol haroi l'biyah, it has to be roi l'bias mayim. So that din of roi l'bias mayim, is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Machlokas rishonim. Tosvos Kedushin Kafei Amud Aleph Antu Kafei Amud Beis Dibur Maskel Kol Harais. That's a parallel Gemara with a little bit of an expansion to our Gemara here on Nida Samach Vav. So Tosvos there assumes that the requirement of Roi L'Bias Mayim is a Din D'Araisa based on Virachas as Kol Bisaro B'Mayim. If you look at the Tosa Yerashi on the side, in our Gemara, the end of Dibur Maskel, Ein Bila Makeves. There's no requirement of Bias Mayim. Miu, Rai L'Bias Mayim, Be'inan, Kevin D'Lef Amim, Nichnas Bo, Hamayim. So the basis of why you would require Roi L'Bias Mayim is that even though it's an area that's not always Nichnas B'Mayim, the fact that it's sometimes Nichnas B'Mayim, that it's of Nichnas B'Mayim, is a reason for a requirement of Roi L'Bias Mayim. So the presentation here is somewhat parallel to the Tosos in Kedushin, with that added line of Lif'amim. But anyway, Tosos in Kedushin is clear. Tosos assumes they're talking about a din d'oraisa. And the Chachmei Svar, they argue, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, that no, it's not included in Vrachastis B'Sarab B'Mayim. Vrachastis B'Sarab B'Mayim only includes that which is B'Goloi, and the requirement of B'Yas Mayim is only Mi Dirabana. Aruch HaShulchan points out in Sif Nivav that Mistimas Rov Yishonim, it sounds like Rov Yishonim assume like Tosfos that the requirement of Roila B'Yasmayim may be a Din D'Oraisa Nafkamina for situations of Suffolk, or situations of redoing a Tefillah, perhaps. So that's just a little bit of Hakdama to some of the details or some of the scenarios that we'll be talking about in the coming Seifim of various areas that constitute Beis Hasdarim and the dinim of Chatzitza in those areas. We'll have to flesh out a little bit more of the details of Beis Hasdarim as we go on. The Gemara then on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph has a series of three, which is really four, related memros. The Gemara first has six lines down. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Hani Ravdi de Kusilta. So Rashi understands Ravdi de Kusilta is a scab that develops on a location where you were Makis Dam. So this Ravdi de Kusilta ad Tlasa Yome Lo Chaitzi, Mikan Ve'ela Chaitzi. So it constitutes a chatzitza up to 3 days. Rashi explains that up to a certain point, it's up to a certain point, it is not chotzeitz because the scab is soft, it's mechuber, is considered to be kibuf habasar, and then when it begins to peel off, then it would constitute a chatzitza. Then the next memra, Amar of Ukva, Liflof Sheba'ayin, the guk, or crusting in the eye, Lach, Eino Chotzeitz, Yavish Chotzeitz. So if it's moist, it's not going to be Chotzeitz. If it's dry, it will be. Emes Ainukha Yavish, Mishash Maskel Lirak. Okay? And then memra number three, Amar Shmuel, Kachol Shevasocha Ayin, Rouge in the eye, Eino Chotzeitz. Shal gabe ayin, if it's external to the eye, or on the top of the eye, above the eye, that's chotzeitz. Ima yuena porchos, if the eyes are literally flying or fluttering, tu lashonos and rashis, I mean that a person is blinking incessantly or crying abnormally, then afil gabe ayin in a chotzeitz, because that movement of porachas removes the questionable substance. Fine. And then, fourth memra, Amar Rav Yochanan, Paschei Nabi Yoser, O Asmei Nabi Yoser, if a woman opens her eyes in an extreme fashion or closes her eyes in an extreme fashion, lo alsa la tefila. Okay. And then the Gemara is a memra of Amar Reish Lakish, Aisha lo titbal ela derech kidelasa, that a woman should position herself in a natural position. Okay. So Tosos here, in both the Ramaskal Paschas, he references it in the first, and then is Marach in the second, quote a Girsa from Rabbeinu Chananel. I'm looking now in the second Tosos Pascha. Achar zeh kasa b'feir Rabbeinu Chananel b'mitzas asfarim v'les hilchasa kachal. He contributes it to the Halachas Gedolos, Rabbeinu Sadrigon. That the halacha does not follow these memras. The chiitmar hani letaros. Avala bala tahora. Because all these memras, so according to the Gersa ben Chananel, this line is inserted after memra number four, after Paschei Nabi Yoser. So the halacha is not like these, it would be four memras. That all these halachas are only stated linyan taros, but not labayla. Ava labayla tahora. Kihad amre shlakish ishala titbal ela derech gidelasa. So Tosa tells us that this Rabbeinu Chananel and other Gaonim had an additional line that doesn't appear in our Gemaras after the four memros of Rivda de Kusilta and Lifthof Sheba'ayin, Kachol Sheba'ayin, and Asmei Nabi Yoser, there's a line that lets Hilchasa Kachol Hanishmaisa. These four memras are only relevant Litara, it's not relevant Litvaila. And then Tosis and the Hemsheikh understands that the next Memra of Reish Lakish that is Kalacha, meaning up to this point, Les El Chasaka Chol Anishmaisa, and then new paragraph, new start, Reish Lakish's Memra of Derek De Lassa is Lahalacha. This seems to be reflected in Rambam as well. Perry Beis Mikvas Halacha Kaf Beis. He quotes the Halacha of Paschei Neha B'Yoser. Then he says, B'med V'ar Memurim L'inyan Taros Aval L'hatir L'bayla Harezu B'Teres Afa Pi Shenas Natashil L'bina Or Shahaya B'ser Yashen O Shal Gaveinu Kochel Ben Paschei Neha Oh, it's Masa and a reason with Teresa Baila. Shekol Advar Me'elu V'Chayotzi Behen Einan Chotzitzin Ella Midivrayan. These are all Chatzitzas Derabanan anyway. Ulinyan Taras Gozru, Ulinyan Via Lo Gozru. So all these forms of Chatzitza were only articulated in the context of Taros, not the context of Labaila. Michael.
What's the basis to be in the Chalik?
If she's not fit, it should be an issue for both. If she's not, it shouldn't be an issue for either.
The
base of the Bichalik between Taras and
Labaila? Right.
So, I believe that fundamentally, these are things that would not be considered to be a Kepeda. And nevertheless, because of the Chumrah of Taros, we kind of shifted the bar on what's considered to be makbid, and even that which, by default, we would have considered eino makbid, and when it comes to Taurus, we treat it as makbid. There's somewhere in the, potentially in the middle, where we could have, you know, shifted the point at which, or the gap between makbid and eino makbid. And we treat it as makbid in Taras. So again, according to Tosvos, you have these four memros up through and including Atzmei Nevi Yoser, which are only relevant to Taras, not relevant to Labaila, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa that Rabbeinu Tam endorses. And then Reish Lakish is a Reish Lakish is a new Memra. The Ramban here understands that no, you take the Kihadam Reish Lakish more literally in this Girsa, that Reish Lakish. That Reish Lakish is the Raya. Reish Lakish is the Raya that Les El Chasa Kachol Hanish Maisa. The Ramban writes, V'kashali, Minalan mid Reish Lakish de Labaila Mutares, Da Afshar de Kulu Isnehu. How do you see from Reish Lakish that everything we said to till now, it was only relevant to Taras, not in Baila. V'kala meimar, ki maisi d'Reish Lakish, mishum pascha ina b'yoser, v'asmei ina b'yoser, d'lo ma'akev b'tfila, d'derech k'dei lasa, nami hu. That, no. We're quoting Reish Lakish, and the din that a woman has to submerge herself in the mikvah, k'derech k'dei lasa, that's to show that even Paschei Nevi Yoser is a good tefillah, because that's also Derech Kidei Lasa. She'ein Adam Nimna Miliftoach V'Latzom Einav Pa'amim Harbe Kedarko Ve'en Amayim Mis'ak V'Milikanis Cham Kedarek Tinechnasim Beis Hashachi Beis Hastarim B'Taveles Derech Kidei Lasa. So the fact that Reish Lakish says Kedarek Kidei Lasa, so that the Gemara is presenting is a raya that Asma Einavi Yoser is not a problem, because even Asma Einavi Yoser, that's still within the range of the normal positioning, and that's considered derech gedila. So the Rabban rejects this girsa slash read of the Gemara l'alacha, but that's the Ramban's understanding of the flow and how Reish Lakish in this girsa is quoted to demonstrate that les hilchas hakuchol hani shmeisa.
So according to the Ramban's read, the mineral of Reish Lakish would be la'alacha. Is that three different shulchos?
No. Everyone agrees that that Reish Lakish is la'alacha. The question is, in this gears of Rabbeinu Chananel, is that a standalone statement or is that proving that les hilchas hakuchol hani shmeisa? So according to the Ramban, it's proving. According to Tosfos, it's a standalone statement. Okay, the Beis Yosef here quotes to the Mordechai, quoting from the Urayim, that even according to this girsa of the Gaonim, that Hani Mil Letaros, still, that's only on a B'dieved level. And even the Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa would agree lahalacha that l'chachila, you should be makbid, / choshesh, even on all these maimers, even the Bible. In the Machlokas, so the less hilchas hakachol hanishmais is on a ikuva level, but not on a lechachila level. And Beis Yosef thinks that's true for the Rambam. The Gaon in Sifkat and Memdalit thinks that that's true for the Mechaber as well. We'll see in a couple moments what the Mechaber's position on this is. There's another sheet to be shown him in the Ravid, Balei Nefesh Shara Tvila Simen Beis Osches, Simen Beis Osches, that has a girsa, or has this Rebbeinu Chanan Les Hilchasa Kachol Hanishmaisa. But he only has it as modifying the first three memros and not Atzma Ineha Bioser. So Les Hilchas HaKachol HaNishmaisa, as far as Rivda de Kasilta, as far as Liflif Shabayin, as far as Kachol Shabayin. But Atzma Ineha Bioser is La'alacha even Labayla. Okay, so you have the Girsa Rabbeinu Chananel, the way Tosfos presents it, that lahalacha, all four of these memros are only le'taras and not le'baila, with perhaps a modification of the Urayim, that's only on the lechachila level, whatever agrees on b'dieva level, the homachalok is on a b'dieva level, whatever agrees on lechachila, you should treat these things as chatzitzos. You have the Ravid that has less hilchas hakachol and ishmaisa on the first three memros, but not on atzmei nebioser. And then you have the girsa lefaneinu of Rashi, and the Tosfos quotes the multiple kashas that Rashi has on this Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa, the stimas gemara of our gemara, that there's no distinction, and all of these memros are relevant le baila, not just the taras. The mind tells us kashas are. After all, the Amoraim here are Amoraim in Bavel. So presumably they're not talking about things that weren't lemaisa then for them. They were at a time and a place where we weren't makbid on taras, and they're the Bali Memra of these various halachas. So to say that this is only Lataras and not Labaila is difficult. It might be better if this is on a level of lechachila, and then it's relevant on a level of the evidence, it's relevant lechachila, even the baila. Okay. Lehalacha, the mechaber in Siv Zayin, Siv Ches, Siv Tes, is so same that all these things are chatzitzos. Liflof Sheba Ayin Siv Zayin, Kachol Sheba Ayin Siv Ches, Dam Yavish Alamaka Siv Tes. So the Mechaber quotes the distinctions of the Gemara between 3 days and after 3 days where it's relevant, but there's no dissenting opinion that this is only Letaros and not Labaila. The Shach is bothered by that in Sukkot and Yud Gimel. Why does the Mechaber not quote the dissenting opinion of the Raavan and the Rashba and the Ram and the Vinatam and the Smag and the Gaonim that this is only Letaros and not Labaila? And the Shach thinks that if push comes to shove in a situation where a woman actually was tovelus with one of these chatzitzos and it's impossible to redo the tefillah, the Shach writes at the end of Sifkat in Yud Gimel that Kedayim Kolhanach Rabusa Lismach Aleim Shepaska de Latar Stavka Inmar Velo Levaila. And especially, Shach notes, look at the Mechaber later on. Mechaber in Sif Lamites, the din of Asmei Nabi Yoser. So there the Mechaber writes, Lo Tatsi Mei Nabi Yoser, Vi Al Tifat Chem Bi Yoser, Vim Asas Akein, Yesh Omrim, Shalo Also La Tvila. So here the Mechaber just quotes it as a Yesh Omrim. So here the Mechaber is presenting essentially two deus as to whether Asmei Nabi Yoser is Ma'akev the Tefillah Levaila. Right, so why is it that the Mechaber is what bothers the Shach? Why is it that the Mechaber earlier in the first three neighbors of the Gemara quotes it without any cholek that it's 100% halacha l'maisa? And here in Lamites, it's a yesh omrim shel asla tefila, but the stam is that also a tefila. Like the Les Hilchos HaKachol Hanish Maisa approach. Now, just to note that in the Torah, when the Torah quotes here in the corresponding line of the Torah Lamites, Lo Tatsa Mina Biyosu Lo Tefas Chayim Biyoser, V'yesh Matir Mezeh, Adon Yavi Zal Kasa V'nacha L'Hachmir. So there, the Prisha notes, so the Drisha notes, in Sifkat and Zion, that this line of Yesh Matirin goes back, sorry, it's a Prisha Sifkat and Lamed Zion. Prisha Sifkat and Lamed Zion, that this line of Yesh Matirin goes back on the earlier Dinim as well. So the Yesh Matirin modifies not only the din of Asmeina, but the earlier three Maimros as well. That's probably not the simplest reading of the Torah, given that there's a large gap between the earlier Lachas and that Halacha, and even harder to suggest that in the Mechaber, to say that the presenting of two deis in Sif Lamites is meant to modify Sif Zayin Ches Tes. But that's what the Shach's bothered by. Why the Mechaber seems to present two deis only by Asmei Nabi Yoser and not in the earlier halachas. then the secondary issue, which Rishonim deal with, is this din. So let's assume that Asmei Nabi Yosser is La'alacha. So what's the relation between the din of Lotatsa Mei Nabi Yosser and the din of Kartsa Sifsoseha, din of holding your mouth closed? So the Mishnah tells us in Mikvahs, Perikas Mishnah Hay, Kafsa Yada Kartsa Sifsoseha Ki'ilu Lo Tavla, that if a woman clenches her fist, if she closes her or shuts her mouth, is Ki'ilu Lo Tavla. So if you say Les Ilchasak L'chol HaNishmais is going on Asmei Nabi Yosser, and Asmei Nabi Yosser is not Ma'akev the Tefillah, like the Stam of the Mechaber in Sif Lamites, before he quotes the Yesh Omrim. So how is that different than Kartsa Sif Soseha, where the Mishnah says Ki'ilu Lo Tavla? Now that's definitely not a good Tefillah. So to understand that, we have to define Asmei Nabi Yosser, and we have to define Kartsa Sifsoseha. So as far as Asmei Nabi Yosser, Rashi wrote, Paskei Neha Biyoser, Havya Chatzitza Lamala, that's a Chatzitza above. So what that sounds like is you're opening your eye widely, and then when you open your eye widely on the top, you're creating some folds above your eye, and there's part of the skin that's going to be covered by that fold. So that's what Rashi presumably means, Havya Chatzitza Lamala. And Asmei Nabi Yosser is Havya Chatzitza Lamata, that if you close your eyes tight, so then part of the eye is overhanging the area directly below the eye and covers that part of the skin. So the Paskei Nabi Yosser is creating a lack of Yismayim, or inability to have Yismayim in the area directly above the eye, and Asmei Nabi Yosser is creating the same problem in the area directly below the eye. That's how Rashi understands Atzima Seinayim and Psicha Seinayim V'yoser. The Rashba, here in our Sugya, Samos Lainim and Aleph, asks this question, what's the relationship between Paskei Neha and Asmei Neha and Kartsa Sifsaseha? The Rashba writes, V'ikha Shalach Maishna Paskei Neha V'yoser Asmei Neha D'lo Ma'akvi B'tfila, if you say Les Hilchasa Kachal Nishmaisa, Umaishna Kartsa Sifsaseha D'tanaki Lo Tavla, so there is the Farish Mishnah, that is not a good tfila, says the Rashba Lo Tipchi. Devadai Kartsa Sifsaseha Ma'akeves B'yas Mayim V'makam Hagoli. So when it comes to Kartsa Sifsaseha, that's preventing B'yas Mayim. Is if you're going to be shutting your lips, then that's not ra'oi l'bias mayim, because the mouth at least has to be ra'oi l'bias mayim. If you're shutting your lips, it's not ra'oi l'bias mayim. Aval paskei neha eina ma'akeves klum. When you're opening your eyes wide, you're not preventing bias mayim anywhere. El kamatin ba'alma hu da'avda Bimbakam Shadarka Bakak. All you're doing is creating extra folds in a place where you sometimes anyway create those folds, meaning it's normal to open your eye, and sometimes if you open your eye wide, then you're going to mela create some kind of fold above the eye. The Afshonami Sha'ina Ma'akvin Klaal Milava Ben Ma'imanish. And that's not necessarily even preventing any B.S. Mayim in that area of the Kamatim. So says the Rashba, quoting from the Ramban. So Karsa Sifsaseha is absolutely preventing B.S. Mayim And that's why it is problematic. Paschei Naha, or Atzmei Naha, is not preventing Bias Mayim, maybe at all. You're creating Kmatim, but you're not preventing any real Bias Mayim. So that's why, in theory, you could distinguish and Aser Karsa Sivsasaha and Matir Atzim Esenai. One second, Yoni. So the Rashba understood Paschei V'Atzmei Inaha V'Yoser like Rashi, that the potential chatzitz we're talking about, or the potential chisar to bias mayim, is on the outside of the eye on top or on the bottom. And that's how it's different than the problem posed by karsus of sasah. Yoni.
The Rashba's reason that the closing lips doesn't work is because then the mouth becomes in roi with bias mayim,
mm-hmm.
because when you close your lips, you're not preventing water from getting to the makom galoy of part of your lips. Like, I envision it that you're closing your lips so tightly that some of your lip actually goes in your mouth, and that part of the lip should have been in the water. But I thought that's what he meant by makom galoy.
Divide the crisis of sabah keves bias mayim bimakom hagalay. So you think that means that you're preventing water from even part that's outside the mouth?
Correct.
Ah. Uh-huh.
That's why we count as a chatzitza of sorts.
Okay.
Because otherwise, what's the makom
galli
that he's referring to? It's just about the right of the
bias mayim. I hear. Because in some, that's makom galli. Okay, good. We'll see. That's two deis and the Rash and maybe the Meiri and other Rishonim. But I wasn't focused on that in the Rashi. I think it sounds like you're right. If you're going to close your lips tightly, then you're covering through the closing of your lips a makom hagalui as well. Okay. Then that's the contrast between the Asim Esenai, we're not focused on inside the eye, we're focused on outside the eye. And the Kritza Svasai Moser are focused on the area outside the lips that are covered by the lips. Okay, good. Good. Okay, so again, the Rashba is understanding, like Rashi, that the Atzim HaSeinayim is a problem of something external to the eye, where potentially you're preventing Bias Mayim, but in the Rashba's analysis, maybe you're not really preventing Bias Mayim, which is how you would justify being Matir, even Atzmei Naha B'Yoser. The Meiri, in a second shot, understood that, no, the Chisaron of Atzmei Naha B'Yoser is that it's not Ra'i L'Bias Mayim inside the eye. And he understood Karsa Sifsasa in a parallel way. He writes, the Meiri, Aval Zusha B'Yochanan Atzmei Naha B'Yoser Paskei Naha B'Yoser Vade Lachihi Velo also la tefila kedin kirsa sifsasa. So there's not no chilik between karsa sifsasa and asmei naha, and both of them are aser. Both of them are chatzitza, because both of them you're preventing ra'i l'bias mayim in the mouth and in the eye. Even though it's based on sarmin, has to at least be ra'i l'bias mayim, and you're preventing the ra'i l'bias mayim. In the ra, yeah.
He says that. So both
wouldn't work? Right. Karsa Sifsa is Beferish in the Mishnah, and then that's the machlokas we shown him by Asma Vina Bioser, whether we say Lesel Chasachan Mishmaisa. Good.
And he thinks we don't say
Lesel Chasachan. And he thinks that Lalacha, we're Machmir, correct. That Asma Vina Bioser is a Chasisa Lalacha, even Labayla, correct.
What about opening?
He groups them both together. So he doesn't explain. Yes, he doesn't really explain the tzir of Paschei Naha B'Yoser. Thank you. Yeah, he doesn't really explain the tzir. Okay. In the Rash in that the Mishnah Mikvos of Karsa Siv Saseha, the Rash has two pshatim. Again, the Mishnah of Karsa Siv Saseha is Perichas Mishnah Hei Mikvos. So Rash says, first pshat is Hidbika Siv Saseha Velo Nifnesu Hamayim Bifia. So you closed your lips, closed your mouth, the water didn't go in. When he did be as mayim lo beina, beis hastarim, ra'i lo be as mayim beina. So just by closing your lips, prevents ra'i lo be as mayim. The ksasa yanira, the kartsa hulashon dochek, she dochek as if sasa beyoser, that you're holding them tightly shut, kamo paskei na beyoser, o sha'asmei na beyoser. So in the first round of the Rash, it sounds like any normal default position where your mouth is closed is a problem of preventing Rai Labias Mayim. So going to the mikveh with your mouth closed would be a chisaron in Rai Labias Mayim, and that's Kartsa Sifso Seha. And that's the position of Tosus as well, in the first Dibur Maskal Pascha, that a woman has to have her mouth opened for Tevila. And then the second Shah on the Rash is no. Karsa Sifsasa is only if you're closing it shut in an abnormal fashion. That if you're just in a default position with your mouth closed, that's enough, right of Yasmayim. It's only a problem if you are dochekes sifsos abiyoser, and that's a parallel to asma eneha biyoser as well. Yeah.
How do you find that Rish Lakish in the context of this? I think Derek Yidula.
So that's not necessarily taking a position on every on your mouth, meaning what you're asking. That it shouldn't be considered derech kedelasa to have your mouth closed? Or it should be?
Yeah, like based what? On that. Yeah, because look at the Rash person, that like, if it's normal for you to do that, close your
right.
eyes, open your eyes, close your mouth, open your mouth, like that's part of
right. living. So you're saying that should be, that shouldn't be derech kedelasa? There should be derech kedelasa.
Should be derech
kedelasa. So then, so that would be derech kedelasa.
I see the first shot of the Rash, like how do we have, or the Tosos, how do we understand that?
So if you say that you have to, the derech kedelasa is a chumra, not a kula. The derech kedelasa the etzem din of derech kedelasa is how you hold your body, right? Ish derech odir masik zeisem, ish neiras karegas amanikas bina. How do you position your hands? That may or may not be relevant to to the mouth. So that may be, you know, for those Rishonim and for the Ramban's understanding of Les Hilchos HaKohanim Shmaisa and Reish Lakish as being a Raya, so he did understand that Derech Kedelasa is relevant to the positioning of eyes, but it's not Bechreach that has to reflect back on every part of the body. Okay, so again, 2 days in the Rash as to whether Karsis says only bedochek or even in a natural position. The nafkamina whether a woman would have to hold her mouth open for tefillah. The Rush, in his Perish of the Mishnah Mikvos, says that Karsa Sisaseha is Dachkan Zu Al Zubi Yoser, like the second day in the Rash, that they're tightly shut. And the Beis Yosef thinks that that's correct halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Nun Tes thinks that that's the position of the Ramban as well. And it's noteworthy that the Rash later in Mikvos, Perek Yud, there he references that mission again, and there he only quotes the second shot of Docheques Sfaseha B'Yoser. There he actually says it more like what Yoni was saying in the Rashba. There the lashon is Docheques Sfaseha B'Yoser U'miskasa HaBasar HaChitza. Right, that sounds a little bit more that the issue isn't as much the bias mayim in the mouth as covering part that's external to the mouth. That's the Rash. So that's different. The Rash on the Mishnah Periches has both pshatim, either normal closing of the mouth or dachka bioser. Where the Rash there says docheches sifsaseha bioser, in that context, it sounds like the problem is one of Bias Mayim, or rather Bias Mayim, but the Rash in Perek Yud has a line, Docheques Sosaseh B'Yoser, but then he says, Umiskasa Basar Chisa. That sounds like the emphasis is more on the fact that you're preventing Bias Mayim on an exposed part of the body, outside the mouth, not in the mouth. Yeah.
I mean, the chat, if you just say that you have to close your mouth, you have to close your mouth regularly, it's just like Chisa, would be because now the mouth is not regarding the Bias Mayim?
Yeah.
It's not Roy Bias Mayim because...
because you're preventing water from coming in. So that's the position of Tosos. That's the first day in the Rash. But most of the other Rishonim don't have like that. And even the Rash himself, in we just noted in Perek Yud, only has the more extreme tzir of Karsa Sifsaseha. The Rosh in Hilchos Nita HaKatzar at the end of the Masechta, the Lamais instructions for women. So there, the line is Tashik Sifsaseha Zubzu Dibuk Beinuni. That when a woman submerges herself, she should hold her mouth in a Dibuk Beinuni, in a normal average position, but no requirement of opening the mouth. And that's. That is generally how we assume lehalacha. Just take a look. Mechaber la'meches. Eino tzmicha liftoach pia kadei sheyichnesu bahamayim. V'lo tikbot zasa yosem idai v'im kafsa lo also latvila alatashik sefsaseh zulu zu diva benini. So that last phrase is from the Rush, that a woman doesn't have to open her mouth. She shouldn't be tikvas yosemidai, but just hold her mouth in a default position. The Darkei Tshuva, Sivkaf and Kuf Kaf Tes, quotes from a couple achronim, Teferes Svi, Makor Chayim, that lechachila, a woman should open her mouth slightly b'shas tefila, but that's not common practice. Common practice is like b'shas and Shulchan Aruch, like what seems to be the position of Rav Rishonim, not like that first day in the Rashi, not like the position of Tosfos, that you can have your mouth closed in a normal default position as long as it's not shut tight in an extreme fashion. Rav Moshe writes about this also. I think it sounds like the Shoel in Yoridea Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Beis, it's like a short paragraph at the end of the Tshuva. Sounds like the Shoel wanted to argue for having a mouth opened, and Moshe points out that's not what we do. Yeah.
If you hold it, that you need the mouth open, what's the chatemza roi lebi asmayim that wouldn't just have bias mayim. And if your mouth is open, the water's going to come in. The Gemara just says eating raw would be a smayim. Isn't that a raya that you don't need to open your mouth?
So is that true? If your mouth is open, is water going to come in?
No.
In my experience, not.
Water will not come in.
Water will not necessarily come into the entire mouth.
Right, because if you're submerging yourself, I mean, just like there are air pockets that take a while to fill up when you submerge a kli in water, so there may well be the equivalent in your mouth. I don't, you can experiment.
Sheer swimming park.
I'm sorry?
Sheer swimming park.
Yeah, haven't you go to the mikveh or Shabbos, like I'm sure you always do, and then experiment.
The parent's like, it's not so big.
But I suspect that Eitan's right, but we can...
If you go based on the definition of a liquid, then it fills the space of its container. So
okay.
Then shouldn't that at least immediately start to fill your mouth? Like,
you
know,
like a cup underwater like this?
Yeah, but it immediately starts to fill. It might not fill immediately, but it starts to.
But it's not... But it may not fill, meaning...
Depends how long you're under the water.
Right, if you're there for a second.
Right,
so that's still... You need... The entire exposed body needs to be 100% submerged and covered by water. So that water has to be touching the 100% of the exposed body. It doesn't have to be touching 100% of the base of star. So if you're submerging for 2 seconds, even with your mouth open, I suspect that the entire mouth won't necessarily be touching the water, but
right.
You can
so
try.
To Michael's point, when he talks about Raya V'yasmayim,
right.
You mean, let's say 1/100th of it gets actual V'yasmayim, and the other 99/100th just have Raya V'yasmayim. They're not going to fill because you're dunking so quickly.
Right. Okay. There's a tshuva the Shola Meshiv. Tinyana Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ches. Tinyana Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ches. End of the tshuva, paragraph beginning Vihine. So the Shola Meshiv was addressing what he calls a glass eye, which is something that a blind person would wear for decorative purposes on the eye to mask the fact that he's blind. So the question was, is that considered to be a chatzitza? It's definitely a mi'ut. Is it considered to be makbid? So Or L'yom Dalid Vayishlach Yud Gimel Kislev Nas Tuf Reish Yud Zayin, 1857. Nishalti Po Lviv, Lemberg, now Western Ukraine. V'isha Achas Sha'asasala Ayin Achas Mizchuchis. Sheve'ena Achas Haisasuma. V'asasa B'Vien Kimin Zchuchis. They didn't have this technology in Lemberg. You have to go to Vienna for it. And she's walking around with this glass eye. And she went to the mikvah. And she forgot to remove it before she went to the mikvah. And she wants to know, was she muteris labayla? I guess the situation was that it wasn't shayach to go to the mikvah again. Vine. Amr li ha'em she'yach alava mayim gama yidei z'chuchesu she'ena mehudak yafa. So the mother, this Shoelis, told him that the water, that the eye isn't strongly adhere, the glass eye doesn't strongly adhere, and the water could get underneath it. The cave and called panim right lava mayim color right the bia smayim is kasher. So eye is based on starim, considered to be right the bia smayim because the water could get underneath. Ule inyan chatzitza near lefine saiti the kan lo shayach zos the chatzitza lo shayach rakishem akpedes lasir. Vimnesha Rala Uganai Bedavar. That makbid means that you're removing something because it's bad for you. It's a gnai. You don't want it there. Avakan Sha Oses Linoi. But here, stafka, you want it because it enhances your presentation. You want to look like you don't want to look like you're blind, so it gives a presentation that you're not. So don't you have the ravid that if you're going to remove a ring for kneading purposes, that makes it makbid? So here, sometimes you remove it. Hainu kedei shelo yiskalkel. You only remove it that it shouldn't get ruined. V'hava kilafush abinas l'kaseif. V'af shara la hadav v'vitzar la. And even though it's painful to have this glass eye, mikol makom koshu l'noi imkein mekabel esatzar kedei shelo tispaze. Velo shayach makpedes kein nira lefi anias daiti. So he makes two basic points. Number one, it's not considered to be mehudak. It's loose. The water can get underneath, so it's rather be as mayim. And it's not a chatzitza because you want it there. It's not lignai. It's not a davara. And even if you're removing it, sometimes it's only kedei shelo yiskalkel. So it sounds like he's not going with the, or not taking into consideration the nitunafin mizuhavin situation of the sharsharos or the braids that are gold plated that you remove so they don't get dirty, and that's still considered to be makbid. So he says for that reason, if she's unable to go to the mikvah again, it should be mutter. One second. Says Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Dalid. So Rav Moshe doesn't like that second reason of the Shalom Meshiv. Lemaisa, she's removing the glass eye every night. So why is that any different than the Raya's ring? The Raya's ring also, you're removing, you want the ring gives you a pleasant appearance, it's Lanoi, and you remove it that it shouldn't get dirty. You remove it for kneading, it shouldn't get dirty. Kosh again, if you remove it because it's painful to keep it in the whole time. So why is this any better than the Raya's ring? Now, parenthetically, in the Shari Tfila, Rav Stern, he says, at the beginning of Siman Lamed Tes, that it sounds like in the Sholem Meshiv's presentation that the woman didn't remove it regularly, even at night, but be that as it may. So Rav Moshe says, number one, he doesn't like the Sholem Meshiv, second Svara, because Lamaisa, you remove it every night, and it's no worse than the Raya's ring, because it is Lanoi, and you're removing it Shalei Yiskalkel, or for whatever other considerations, and there's Sar involved. And furthermore, Moshe says that it's considered makbid because you can't leave it there forever. If you were to leave it there, then that's going to harm you. If it was a situation where you could really leave it there forever, and you just remove it on occasion to replace it because the glass is going to get ruined if you keep it there too long, so then maybe that's like the temporary filling that Rav Moshe was the mekola. But short of that, if there's ever a situation where you need to remove it, mibnei tsar, mibnei getting ruined, etc., and you leave it out, so Rav Moshe doesn't think that those are grounds to be matir the chatzitza. However, Rav Moshe is makel for another reason, which is his chiddush in the sugya of Beis Hasdarim. And his chiddush in the sugya of Beis Hasdarim is that the only thing that is chotze to Beis Hasdarim is something that is mistabe kemine devik vetit. The only thing that's going to be chotze to Beis Hasdarim is something that adheres to the body, like glue or plaster, that makes it into Ein Aroi Lebias Mayim. But if you have something that's not adhering to the body in the Beis Hasdarim, it's just placed there, but it's not Mehuda Gafet, then even if there are situations where you're makpid to remove it, fundamentally, that's still Ra'ui Levias Mayim. So as long as it's not Nistabe Kamine Devik Vitit, you don't have a problem of Chatzitza Beis Hasdarim, and then you don't have to make any further analysis about the level of makpid. So that's why your Moshe's Mekel, when it comes to contact lenses, that since the contact lenses are not in your eye, kamine devik vitit, so if you forgot to remove them before tefillah, you don't have to go to the mikvah again. Now, Rav Moshe says you do lechachila have to remove them. Rav Avadia quotes Rav Moshe, it sounds like he's quoting Rav Moshe saying that you can keep them in lechachila. That's not what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe says that in principle, if push comes to shove, at one point in Rav Moshe, it sounds, in the beginning of the tshuva, it sounds like in principle you could be told with them even lechachila, but in practice Rav Moshe says you have to be machmir to remove them lechachila. It's just if a situation arose where you didn't. So, post facto, the tefillah would be a good tefillah based on his analysis of Beis Hasdarim. Yaakov.
Within the Sholem Yishuv, I'm just trying to connect this first and second point. If it's not Mehuda, I think maybe this is somewhat like Rav Moshe saying maybe. If it's not Mehuda, why are we caring more about if she's Machpid or not? Saying at that point, isn't it fundamental chatzitza if the water could pass through it? So isn't that a heavy in itself?
So, two things. First of all, in general, we're machmir lechachila, even on something that's ena mehudak, atu mehudak, as we discussed previously. So, but you're right, b'di'evet. So he is presenting two distinct reasons. So the first does stand, or potentially could stand, independent of the second. And the first, Rav Moshe's only arguing the second. Rav Moshe's Mahalach of Beis Hasdarim is an expansion of that first point of the Sholem Yishuv. Right, so Sholem Yishuv is talking about everyone would say lechachila, remove everything before tefillah. Sholem Yishuv is talking about what happened b'di'eved if she went to the mikvah with it. So yeah, in Echanami, both of the point, he has two points. Both of them in theory could stand alone. And Rav Moshe's Chiddush of Beis Hasdarim, that the standard is whether it's mistabe kamine devek vitit, that's just an expansion on what's considered Raila Bias Mayim in the context of Beis Hasdarim. Meaning the standard for Moshe, the standard of Raila Bias Mayim is lower than what we actually require Bias Mayim. Meaning you wouldn't say if you have something that's adhering to the body, even if it's not Mehudak mistabe kamine devek vitit, on the exposed part of the body, you wouldn't say that's not considered to be a chatzitza because it's Raila Bias Mayim, right? Because on the body you require Bias Mayim Mamish, Raila Bias Mayim is enough. In Beis Hasdarim, all you require is Raila Bias Mayim, so then, as Rav Moshe says, as long as it's not Mistabe Kedevik Vitit, it's considered to be sufficiently Ra'uli Lebias Mayim. Rav Shtur makes a point in Simulam Tess that he says there should be a different consideration when it comes to contact lenses. Even if Rav Moshe is correct that it's considered to be sufficiently Raila Bias Mayim if it's not Mehudak and not Mistabek to the eye, but there's a tangential consideration that we need to be aware of, which is that if a woman is going to the mikvah with contact lenses in, then she is going to be prone to closing her eyes more tightly than normal to prevent water from getting into her eye and ruining the contact. So he thinks for that reason that if you go to the mikvah with context, it wouldn't be good to even be the eved. There was that.
Is that like a natural for people to wear context?
Yeah, I don't wear context. So I was just going to ask the people that wear context. No. Is that reflective of? I mean, do you take them off to take a shower?
No, and you can open them in the pool. You won't have any issues. I don't know about a mikvah necessarily.
I'd say if you go swimming, do you?
That's just the experience also. But yeah, I wear them in the pool. I'll open my eyes sometimes. Like, it's fine. They don't mess with you. So.
I don't know if was the same true 40 years ago. Was the
no? I don't know if the doctors would necessarily recommend that. But the layman among us would tell you that it doesn't actually.
Okay. So this sefer is published in Tavshin Lamed Tes. So it's good 4 years ago. I'm sorry.
You can open your eyes underwater.
Yeah,
but context used to be much more like you had to be much more careful with them.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So I don't know.
Like throw away context. You don't mind as much.
Right. So it could be that the reality he's talking about is less has changed.
Could be they're also talking about glass contacts. Could they be more
that's
common?
And what stunt contact lenses in the late 70s were glass?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Okay. But anyway, it could be that consideration Bimitsius is less relevant now, I don't know. But he raises that concern.
Soft contact lenses are 1971 is when they're created.
Okay. So I don't know how nafuts they were by 1979. Ravazner Chua Shevet Alevi Cheli Beisim and Sadi Zion Cheli Beisim and Sadi Zion. So his conclusion. Is you should, if you went to the mikvah with context, you should go again. Lanzei Tzol Baila, you have to figure it out. Bada Yosholcha and Sifkatan Reish Sadivav is Mesupak Ladina. What the din is by Lanzei Tzol Baila. Meaning, Evan would say, L'chachila, you should, if you went to the mikvah and forgot to remove your context, Evan would say, in practice, L'chachila, go to the mikvah again. If you went home, you realize the mikvah is still open, go back to the mikvah. If for Lansay Sobaila, Bada Shulchan is Mesupuk, Tara Sabayis is Mako, Rabbi Will is Mako, Rabbi Karp and Rabbi Morgenstern quote from Avil Yashiv that you should ask a Sheila Skacham.
By Lansay
Sobaila? By Lansay Sobaila, right. I mean, Evan would say that l'chachila, in practice, go to the mikvah again. And the shayla is lansei tzol baila. So, again, Rav Avadya says meikol, Rabbi Willig is meikol l'maisa, Rabbi Karp, Rabbi Morgan, a quote from Avil Yashiv, Rabbi Morgan, a quote from Avil Yashiv, ask a shayla schacham. Shevet Alevi is mistopic, it sounds like. We had a maisa right before COVID. Of a woman who was misgayer in an out-of-town Besdin. She didn't live in that town, so it was a trip for her. She flew from wherever she lived to this Besdin, and she went to the mikvah, and the mikvah attendant gave all the instructions, including remove your contacts, and for whatever reason, it didn't register, and she went to the mikvah with her contacts on, and then she only realized that when she got back home. So the shayla we were asked was, does she have to go to the mikvah again? So we said that that's not lansei tzol baila, because lemaisa, you could still do it again in a lechachila fashion. So even though push comes to shove, if it would be impossible to do it again, we'd probably be meiko. But if it's possible to do it again, then you should definitely do it again, because this is a matter of lechachila. So the problem was, this was like February 2020, and then before she was able to go back to the Besdin, the world shut down. And it took months and months until, finally, the Besdin that originally did her geirus, their mikvah wasn't open yet because whatever local protocols, they weren't allowed to open the mikvah yet. So then we ended up arranging for her to go to a different part of the country and do the geirus l'chumra in a different Besdin that she had no shaykhus to, just because it wasn't practical to go back to the original Besdin. So we had such a shayla by contact lenses. That's a little more dramatic than the standard situation where a woman who's who's going to Mikvah for Tara purposes would realize afterwards. But again, so Chachila matter, the Tila should be redone before Lansay Svobayla. So Baila wants Lansay Svobayla, then there's definitely what to be Mikvah about. So that's the issue of context, yeah.
The motion would be Mikvah even without Lansay
Svobayla? Sounds like it.
But nobody accepts the motion, so.
I would say no one, but it could be even Moshe may. He definitely says that lechachila you should remove it, but the avi you can make. I don't think he's misyake specifically to if she could redo it right away versus lansay sabayla. It could be even Moshe would say that you have nothing to lose by just going to the mikvah again if lo lansay sabayla. Yeah.
In the Lansay Svobayla, is the problem doing it again, like you're kind of showing that something might have been wrong?
Potentially be Mosi Laz.
So better just not to avoid it again.
Right, because that would, if something Mi'ikara did is not a Chatzitza, it's only Mishum Chumra, so then where Lansay Svobayla will say, you don't have to, don't do it again to fulfill that Chumra at the expense of a potential Lansay Laz. Okay. We'll stop here, and it looks like we will reconvene on Monday, Ritz Hashem. I think my preference might be to give Shir the end of Seder Monday, but I'll let you know. Okay, Monday we'll talk about perforated ears, and then continue going. What?
Perforated
ear. Yes. Perforated ear drum, sorry.
What is that?
What's a perforated ear drum? Google it. And then we'll talk about it next time.